Hello, and thanks for listening. This is Jonathan Kozlowski, one of the editors of Law Enforcement Technology. Text to 911 seems a straightforward concept, but nothing that seems simple ends up being that way. So I recently had an opportunity to talk with Diamond Chaufley, Director of Marketing and Business Development for Public Safety of NICE Systems, to discuss possible issues and get some insight into where the industry stands with solutions for PSAP.
Since text to 911 came a bit more serious earlier this year, and since we're about halfway through the year, I was wondering if you could tell me what the current status, state of the industry about text to 911 is currently. How things
okay.
are going, the issues coming up, or et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So text to 911 was something that was initiated probably maybe a couple of years ago, or at least I saw the first publication on that, where basically the FCC made an agreement with the four major carriers in the U.S., Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile, to provide PSAPs, 911 centers, the ability to accept text from their residents if they so wish to. I mean, it is voluntary. It's not something that every PSAP must do. And then they agreed on a number of things. One of them was that basically they defined May 15, 2014 as kind of the GA date, meaning after, on this date and after, basically every PSAP that will want to become text 911 capable, then any of those four major carriers will have to allow it. Will have to basically enable the routing of text to that PSAP.
So that deadline, the May deadline, was more for the carriers or manufacturers, and not
Correct.
PSAPs instead.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, a PSAP, and there were many PSAPs that before, you know, during last year, we saw a number of them in the news announcing that they are offering text 911, and the FCC, if you go to their website, they publish every 3 or 4 months a report on which are the PSAPs that are currently doing text 911. I think the latest report is actually from May 16 this year. So you'll see there are a few tens of PSAPs that are already capable to receive text 911.
Sure, sure. Was it tens or?
Tens, yes.
Tens, okay.
Around 40 or something, maybe a bit more. Because it depends. I mean, there are some on state level, there are some which are, you know, on regional level, and then you'll see also in the list, you know, specific PSAPs.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to tell you how many exactly are doing a text 911, but, you know, compare it to the more than 6,000 PSAPs in the U.S., it's, you know, we are really at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Since there is only 40 yet, it's probably climbing very quickly.
Yeah, 40 plus, I would say, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned if they wanted it, why wouldn't a PSAP want this technology? And if it was just because it's, you know, equipment or there's some issues involved, what would they be?
It's not so much on the terms of technology. Yeah, I mean, there is, you know, I don't think it's a significant, but there is an investment here.
Okay.
I mean, by the carriers, the offer is free of charge. I mean, they don't charge the PSAP for it. The vendors that work with those carriers to actually facilitate the delivery of the text, they may charge. And based on what I saw, it's also insignificant, rather. But I think the decision of a 911 center to whether to become a text 911 capable center or not is you know, whether they want to provide the service, whether they have the capacity in terms of, you know, staff, being able to provide 911 services over text as opposed to over the phone. And, you know, so far the volume of text sent to 911 is really, really low. So I think that's also part of a PSAP consideration to say it's not really, you know, something significant, then I'm you know, not sure they want to get into this adventure because, I mean, from their perspective, other than having the software in place, I mean, the other thing they need to do is make sure their staff is trained and, you know,
yeah,
actually, you know, adopt new procedures and so on.
What would you suggest they evaluate about their PSAPs in their particular jurisdiction to decide whether or not to implement?
So first they need to decide how, you know, from solution or technological perspective, how it fits their current system. There are three delivery methods that have been defined by the FCC and also defined in a standard called ATIS J110. And those three are basically delivering the text through what, you know, is called a direct IP. So basically that adopts a connection environment or connection environment, and based on the NINA I3 standards that define connection. And typically through this route, the text will be received through the call handling software that the PSAP would be using. So they might use a Cassidian call taking software or an Intrado, and they, you know, from their perspective, they have one interface managing both audio calls and text.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are other delivery methods which also affect on how basically the PSAP handles the text. Another way to do it is through what's called a web interface, and it's very much pushed by TCS. So they have an application called GEM911, which is a browser-based application, and it is separate from the call handling application. So it does require additional real estate on the desktop to work with another application to conduct the text interaction. So these are definitely considerations that the PSAP needs to make depending on their current call handling environment and where they are on, you know, on the phase, I mean, which phase they are on the transition to NextGen 911. There's another, the third delivery method, it's called TTY, teletype telephony. Basically, it's an old technology that has been out there to serve the deaf and hearing impaired community. So, you know, it's a technology that every PSAP already has, and it does, you know, can route through the device. It's basically a hardware device, the text through it, and then, you know, the 911, they receive it and they can respond through that device. This is also part of the consideration. I mean, you can basically use an existing technology that you already have at the PSAP, and it doesn't require any additional investment on technology, but also it is an old technology, and one of the disadvantages of it is that, for example, it uses the voice circuit switch, so, you know, you cannot, once you have text conversation using the TTY device, you cannot have a phone conversation because it does capture one of the lines, as opposed to the web interface and the direct IP, which uses a separate IP network.
Hmm.
So this type of considerations. And then there are other considerations related to, you know, what do you do regarding logging of the text? Do you you know, do you want to record all of the text traffic locally? Do you want it recorded in the data centers of the different text and anonymous providers and things like that, which, you know, this is where NICE, for example, comes into play. And then another consideration is, you know, the four main carriers, what they did, they have teamed with a couple of vendors that basically provide the TCC functionality, which is the text control center. There are two vendors, Entrado and TCS. So basically Verizon and T-Mobile works with TCS, Sprint and AT&T works with Entrado. And where this affects the PSAP is they need to basically select the TCC vendor, or if they do start with the carrier, make the application for text 911 with the carrier, they also need to consider that, you know, they would probably want to have text coming from multiple carriers, not only, you know, serve Verizon subscribers. So to that end, TCS and Entrado have agreed between them to route text to each other. So if there is a Verizon subscriber sending text, that would be facilitated by TCS. But if the PSAP is working with, let's say, an Entrado call handling application, then Entrado would receive that text from TCS and route it to the PSAP, to that specific PSAP. So both TCC vendors, TCS and Entrado, are kind of also an aggregators of text.
Interesting. I never heard that before. So is this agreement only for the 911 technology, or will, like, a Sprint customer, were they not available to send one to the opposing side? Were they just that text
yeah,
not
I mean,
being delivered before?
Well, this is all new. I mean, Sprint subscriber, I mean, any subscribers of the four major carriers, I mean, it, you know, will route the text through their TCC of choice, TCS or Entrado, and between TCS and Entrado, they basically will manage the traffic and route it to the end PSAP.
Okay. You mentioned the logging being important, and NICE has a solution for that. What would be the issues of recording so many text messages so far in the future?
Yeah, no, it's important to log every text message, actually. It's, you know, it's standard practice at the PSAP, you know, to record the audio calls. So any 911 call coming in is recorded. When I say, you know, log the text, it means not only the content, but also log the timestamp of each message, the texter number, the position ID or the operator information that, you know, actually processed the text, and the location of the texter. So all of this data can be used later on to find, for search, you know, to find the text correspondence, and also used to basically recreate the incident, meaning to reconstruct the text conversation in synchronization with other media related to the incident that were available, such as the consecutive radio communication following that text call, and a screen capture of what exactly the operator did on their CAT system to process that text call. You know, GIS map, place, you know, the location of that texter as opposed to the location of the responding unit. And maybe there was also a video. I mean, let's take an incident, for example, maybe there was a shooting. Mm-hmm. And let's say in a university, and, you know, of course, you couldn't call 911. It might be deemed too risky by the people involved or being the victims of the shooting, and they text. So they text, some may also call. So you have a combination of different calls and texts related to the same incident. And you also have the video surveillance from the university, which you can combine. So you can kind of see what's going on from 360 degrees. Okay, I received this text at this and this point in time. I got this call at this and this point in time. This video was available to the security operation at the university. In some cases, it might be available also to the 911 dispatch center as well. This is basically where the future is going, to bring that information into the dispatch center, so you'll have greater awareness, and so on. So that's all part of the road to NextGen and part of the implementation of the broadband network that's going to be available for
city. It sounds like it's just one more thing for the PSAP operator to have to manage and know how to use seamlessly. Are there going to be any new standards for and training for these operators?
Yes, I believe so. So, you know, there are standards. The ATIS J110 basically defines how the text should be delivered.
Okay.
Then there is the NINA I3 standards, which is still in draft phase, defining, you know, how to manage, again, the delivery over an I3 network or NextGen network of text or any other multimedia. And there is also guidance by NINA on the operational aspect of how to manage text to 911 conversation.
Well, thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.